Charlie and a few of their friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
Hello, welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. We are coming to you from our Hell's Kitchen apartment.
On Halloween.
On Halloween, very spooky edition.
We have Halloween candy that we stole from our kid.
That's right. A couple program notes up top. We have a live election show at the UCB Theater East on Tuesday, November 8th, also known as Election Day.
Yes. And then we'll have a show later on in November. We'll plug that later.
Yeah, Monday the 28th, we'll have a show as well. But come on out. If you live in New York City and you need to watch the election returns with other humans, if you need to hold hands with someone else.
Maybe hook up with somebody. There's going to be like tons of hookups.
I know that after George Bush got reelected in 2004, there was a lot of couples that got together just out of fear.
Did you start dating someone out of fear, Charlie?
I was in a relationship that
our guest with us is trying not to laugh because we haven't introduced her yet.
Let's move on.
Let's introduce our guest because I'm super, super stoked. We've been trying to get my dear, dear, lovely friend Shauna Thomas on the show for a long time. She is the DC Bureau Chief for Vice News, which is a fucking kick-ass phenomenal new TV show that I highly recommend everyone should watch, and we'll talk about it more.
And Shauna also worked at NBC News for years, with Nightly News, worked with Meet the Press, MSNBC.
And she's my friend from college.
And I'm really happy to be here representing the buff and the blue.
Yay!
Go GW.
Go Colonials.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have no school spirit.
No school spirit. None.
The premise of this show, if you're tuning in for the first time, Cody and I, we are married. We love beer. We love politics.
Yes.
So this is a tipsy political roundtable. Right now, we're going to pause the recording, and the
we're
three of us...
We're going to drink some Stone...
A real hodgepodge of beer.
Yeah. Well, we had a party the other night. When that happens, we always drink the leftover beers. But we're highlighting tonight one of my faves, Stone and Joy By.
And in fact, it's Enjoy By 10/31/16.
So it's fresh as shit.
Well, no, actually, tonight is the last day it will be
so
fresh.
So it's not fresh as shit.
Today is the deadline to drink the beer and still have it be considered frighteningly fresh, as it says in the bottle.
We also have a Stella Artois in this mix.
Some Sierra Nevada, some Brontbury, some Dogfishette. It's all over the
map. That's the shit we're chugging. We'll
I'm
enjoy
apparently
going to
chug something right now.
Yes.
We are not going to chug the 9.4% Stone beer. We're going to sip that.
It's 9.4?
Yes.
Oh, we're not chugging that.
Oh, God, I'm going to be so drunk.
So we're gonna chug two beers over the course of a few minutes, and we'll see you guys on the other side, as Chuck Todd likes to say. And we're going to talk about the news of the week.
All right, we're back, and we're tipsy. Shauna.
Hi.
I was going to ask you, we usually say, how you feeling? But we went to school together, and you and I know how to drink, so I know you're doing okay.
I'm doing okay for now, yeah. I'm going to try not to
lose. It's a little unusual to chug 24 ounces in 5 minutes, right?
It is.
I don't know.
Not a normal Monday
night.
I'm
going to try not to lose my job today, but I think it's a little easier advice. As your listeners don't know, but at NBC forbade me
from
doing this show because chugging two beers and then talking
about
politics.
Which is so funny because we had Steve Kornacki on and Alex Wagner, although she
was
not working.
Alex was not an employee of NBC.
Yeah, that's true. So Vice News is fine with me doing this. I checked it with everybody, so that should be interesting.
So we also love NBC. We love that Kornacki did our show. We hope that we'll get more NBC talent.
And
as frustrating as it was that you didn't get the green light.
And I still love NBC News, too.
So Shauna,
very good to me.
Shauna is like our friend that is our news celebrity friend. We are obsessed. We've always been obsessed with NBC, and Shauna's worked. We worked for them for so long.
Yeah.
And we're obsessed with Vice, too.
The only young people that Shauna knows that really want to pick her brain
about NBC Nightly News.
About what assignments Janet Shamlian might get on Nightly.
Janet's the best, actually. What?
If it's in Houston, she's going to be there.
Or if it's something that is near Texas that is a weather-related event.
Sure.
Or she also went... like snowboarding with JJ Watt once.
Oh,
and I was really, really jealous about that one.
You brought up weather. This was actually something on my mind that I wanted to ask you. So Vice News Daily, is that the full name of the show?
Vice News Tonight Vice on News HBO, 7:30 p.m. My PR person told me to make sure I said that very clearly.
Vice News Tonight, 7:30 p.m. on HBO.
Yes.
And actually, if you have HBO Go or HBO Now, we tuned in at like 7:50, and it was live, but we were able to restart it. It was cool.
Yeah.
So it's like having it on your DVR. So we've been watching the show and really enjoying it. And we also... famously, Cody and I watch NBC Nightly News every night.
Yes.
And I've seen it every night.
We consume so much news.
Most of my life, because my family watched it some. I have a lot of pet peeves about Nightly. I have a love-hate relationship with it, and I know you worked for Nightly for a little while.
Yes, I did.
But ultimately, I have to be a huge fan. I watch it every night. So,
yeah.
But my number one pet peeve about it is that when there is a big weather event, it will sometimes consume 75 to 80% of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like major hurricane,
a huge snowstorm,
maybe,
right?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yes.
But in general, if there is a hurricane or a snowstorm or a flood,
it's at
or
least
a fire,
like,
it'll eat up 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 minutes sometimes.
Yes,
the
A block.
Yeah,
and
most of the A block.
A specific part of the country experiencing this weather.
Yeah,
yes.
And to me, it's like, well, I don't live in North Carolina, and even though I went to college there, just tell me that there's some bad floods and we're working on it, and maybe you can text here to give $10. But let me ask my question first, which is, will Vice News Tonight cover weather? Like,
do you have a meteorologist? What do you do if there is a blizzard?
But do you feel that weather is news? And does Vice News Tonight feel that weather is news?
Wow, that seems like a trick question. Okay, here's the thing, is that Vice News Tonight does feel that weather can be news, because weather...
climate change is news. There was a great climate story last night, or Friday night.
You guys do a lot of climate stories.
And we have
a great climate
reporter. She's amazing. Climate is news. Weather can be news. The government touches weather. The military can touch weather. All of that stuff. In terms of what you see on NBC Nightly News versus what you're going to see on Vice News Tonight, what you're not going to see is we're probably not going to try to put someone in the eye of the hurricane. And
oh, no!
There are a couple of reasons for this. One is the logistics of that involve satellite trucks and multiple crews and getting in place beforehand. And knowing that the live pictures of a hurricane, which is part of why something like the NBC Nightly News goes so big on it, is that the pictures are dramatic and they want to get them themselves. Vice News Tonight doesn't have as many resources in that respect. So you're always going to play catch up to a network when it comes to that kind of thing. And on the things we're going to play catch up on, we're probably just not going to do. Now, if there are pictures out of Haiti from like the last major hurricane, and we've also had a correspondent who's done a lot of Haiti work and understands the situation there, if we can add to the story, especially after the fact.
Yeah, after everyone's forgotten about it and moved on.
Then we're going to do that. If we think something is big enough to try to put someone in place beforehand, and there's some other angle we've thought of, like we're going to spend like the hurricane with the sheriff's department and see how they work.
Right.
Which I probably shouldn't give that idea away on this podcast, but it's something that we talked about, then we're going to do that. But if it's really just about really great, not great, I mean, sometimes sad, but just sort of amazing pictures of kind of how big weather can be, we can't compete in that respect.
Well, you'll mention it.
Yes.
Type of thing.
And
like,
I think even the last hurricane, we ended up mentioning it, but with respect to climate change.
Which is great. That is actually one of my biggest, and don't worry, on this podcast, we're going to get to the emails. I was just, everybody wants to talk about Clinton's emails. We're going to get to it. But one of my biggest complaints about the weather on things like Nightly News is that they just say this thing's happening rather than this is part of a global trend or whatever. I feel like we're at the point now where we're giving too much thing to, like, some people believe climate change doesn't exist. It's like, no, you need to say this weather thing is happening. All these crazy weather things are happening, and it's probably due to climate change.
It's sort of in the same way that every Huffington Post article has the paragraph that Trump is a xenophobic racist.
Yeah.
At the end.
Every weather disaster story on network news should say, by the way, this is all happening because of the earth is warming and we should do something about it.
It's just factual. Also, I just want to, give a little plug during what was the tropical storm in South Carolina this year?
The one that we were down there for?
Charlie covered it on Instagram stories. So if you if you ever need a really crackpot team to get down there on no budget,
yeah.
Charlie and I will go and Instagram story it for Vice News
and
tonight.
Then stay with Charlie's family.
Yeah,
in South
totally.
Carolina. Yeah, exactly. I don't have to pay for the hotel room is what you're telling me.
We have a condo. We'll stay. It'll be great. And we'll just do it on Instagram stories.
So to sum up, you guys think weather is news, you just don't have the budget to cover it.
That's some of it, but also we would like to add something to it. And sometimes in the night when people are getting blown around, there's nothing Vice News can add to it.
I love it. They're like, it's 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours of Mike Seidel.
But we had real conversations about that in the last hurricane, about what do we do and should we go down there?
Look, I mean, I think a natural disaster is news. I just think a lot of weather is local news.
Yes. But I think big hurricanes that cause a lot of damage, a lot of monetary damage, and that you really have to do something about in terms of disaster declarations from the government, it is news.
Yeah.
But
it just feels like they cover
add
so
a lot
much,
to
though.
It.
But I like that. I really like that idea. It's like, what can we add?
Exactly.
Rather than what are we just covering to kill time? Which is, anyway, I want to get more deeply into media and politics in general. But I think, can we just start with the emails with Hillary? Because I feel like our listeners want that sweet, sweet cocaine we're going to give them, which is the...
More of those damn emails.
More email shit.
Yep.
So they really want to hear it. I want to talk a little bit about James Comey coming out, talking about Hillary's... is this a scandal? I mean, what the fuck is happening? Is this a scandal? What's going on?
I mean, it's a scandal insofar that Anthony Weiner is involved.
Oh, my God.
We
just watched the Weiner documentary, too.
Okay, once again, this is my second thing today where I've had to admit that I haven't actually watched it yet, but I will.
It is so just...
I heard it's something I really need to watch.
We've got my parents' Showtime password if you need a hookup.
Okay, thank you.
We'll hook you up.
Here's the thing about the emails. Is it a scandal? We don't know. That's the problem right now. And what was in that letter that the FBI director, James Comey, sent to Congress last week was basically like, we found some other emails in conjunction to an investigation that had nothing to do with her private server. And then the FBI started leaking like a sieve, and they basically said, okay, that had to do with the Anthony Weiner investigation.
No one said that, right?
No.
On record?
Well, background.
Sources told Pete Williams.
Told Pete Williams.
And Pete Williams, NBC,
and
doing
so
a great job.
And so I believe it, because it's Pete Williams.
Yeah, Pete don't
he
fuck
is the
around.
Gold standard.
Yep. He is doing a great job, by the way.
In conjunction with their investigation about whether Anthony Weiner was sharing lewd pictures with someone who was underage.
This is so terrible.
They were going through computers and other devices that he had, and the FBI found a bunch of emails that the metadata basically said could have been sent to and from Hillary Clinton's private server. Here's the things we don't know about those emails. And over the weekend, the FBI got a warrant to actually look at the emails.
So they hadn't even looked at the fucking emails.
They didn't know
they
what was
this.
In them. Some of the emails could be duplicates of what the FBI has already looked at, number one. Number two, some of them could be totally new emails that they didn't find because Hillary Clinton and her lawyers did actually delete a bunch of emails. Mm-hmm. And
that they deemed to be personal.
To be personal, or so they said, depending on their search terms. And then there is no number three. It's really one or two. I guess the number three becomes, is there anything in those emails that the FBI had not seen before that was secret information or classified information, and that was clearly marked as classified when it was sent to and from the private server? The answer to those questions, I don't know.
Well,
and the FBI doesn't know yet.
According to Vice News Tonight that we just watched earlier, apparently one theory or some of the reporting from your show said that Huma would email herself.
You mean Uma.
I'm sorry, Donald Trump calls her Uma
because he can't hear an H.
But yeah, her name is Huma.
H's are.
So. It actually does have an H.
Uma Abedin.
So Uma has a huge problem here.
Right? Yeah.
but that Huma would like email her Yahoo account some emails to print at home on Anthony's computer. Like, it seems like maybe that's what it was.
It is what I do all the time on like our shared computers or whatever.
Yes, forwarding things to your own personal account because it makes it easier basically to print them from her.
Which means they probably maybe saw them.
But also one would think that Huma would not like send a classified email to her Yahoo account. Like, she seems like a very smart, accomplished woman. I'm guessing she's not printing out classified email on her HP printer at home on Anthony's laptop.
I think we would all hope that.
One hopes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now the FBI has to go through the emails and figure that out.
But it seems to me that the big breakthrough here and the big scandal is we've looked at all the emails that were on Hillary's server, but we just found out that those emails also reside on the computers of people that she sent the emails to. We've discovered how email works, that apparently the emails that Hillary sent went to other inboxes, and we just coincidentally got one of these inboxes because there's a child predator who happens to be related to a staffer of the campaign.
But take
out the salaciousness of Anthony Weiner. It's basically like, oh, coincidentally, we got a laptop of someone who works for Hillary, and oh my God, here's the scandal. Hillary emailed that person.
Yes.
Like, that's nothing. That's not news.
In the whole scheme of things, like, one of the things the Clinton campaign has said multiple times is that a lot of the emails that went to the server were between state.gov, so the official email domain of the State Department, and then that private Hillary Clinton server, like Clinton email. And so anything that went into state.gov was captured by the systems that they use to basically keep everything forever, like all of the records. And so we could be in a situation where if those emails were sent to someone else in state.gov, they already exist in like what the FBI has looked at. They could already exist in the Clinton emails. The problem is nobody knows. And so what happened
on
Friday...
So is it irresponsible of him to make that vague statement, right?
I'm not going to go so far as to say it's irresponsible, but the problem is that nobody knew exactly what that statement was. And what we had on Friday and through the weekend is something where the Trump campaign and the Clinton campaign were actually kind of in sync with each other, which was... we need to know what's going on.
And everyone is saying, show us the email.
I sort of feel like now Trump is like, we don't need to see him. We know it's corrupt. Like, he sort of today has kind of backed off and was like...
a little bit,
just like, the one thing we do know is she should be in jail.
But like watching Mike Pence and Meet the Press this week, and it's like, well, this could be cleared up if Huma would just like show all her emails. It's like, well, first of all,
Huma's apparently not even totally sure what's there either.
No, look, if I had to turn over every email I've ever sent and I like,
you gave them my
iPhone and my iMac and my laptop, and then like 6 months later is like, oh, one time you like logged into your wife's computer and sent and received some email. like okay, yeah, I guess so.
And also, what do you mean? I mean, she could have deleted them off of her email account. So what do you mean release them? Like,
exactly.
Right? Like, if there were things that let's say innocently, there are things that I were printing for Hillary, right? Boring bullshit shit I'm printing for Hillary.
But here's the deal. As long as it's the boring bullshit shit. I mean, the thing is that the entire investigation was, did Hillary Clinton handle classified information properly?
Right.
And what the FBI director ended up saying was she was negligent in what she did, but that there was basically nothing that they thought was prosecutable, right?
Yeah.
And so what we have to go back now and find out is there something in this email, like in these emails that they've newly found that says, oh, wait, she handled classified information improperly.
Yeah.
And that is a fair thing
in a grossly negligent manner.
Yeah. But that's a fair thing to go ahead and try to figure out.
I want to say
the problem is that letter on Friday left
every door open.
Yeah. The idea that every member of Congress who got that letter, whose office wasn't going to immediately send it to the media. And I'm not even saying Director Comey thought that, but like it took me like half a second of an email to get a copy of that letter, because people would want to get that out.
Oh, for sure.
And the letter was incredibly vague.
Yeah.
And so no one knew exactly what was going
but,
on.
But I think we can all sort of gather why James Comey did this, right? Like he was put under such a microscope, mm-hmm. and blamed for by Republicans. He was just fucking demonized for not prosecuting her.
Well,
right?
Yes, for not suggesting that prosecution should
If
happen.
He did not come out and say something that he was trying to get a subpoena for these emails.
And it came out 5 months later.
They would say, you lost us the election. Fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. And if, God forbid, they do find something on these emails, he would be blamed for not bringing it up before the election.
Yeah.
On the other hand.
Well, one other thing. Like, in the letter, the thing that wasn't unclear was he basically said, I came in front of Congress. I said that this investigation was basically over, that we didn't find anything that would lead us to believe that she should be prosecuted. And now we have new information that makes what I said basically incorrect, that the investigation is not completely over and that we need to see what's in this new information. And so that's what he was doing.
Now, so this is what I want to talk to you about, because you are working for, I think, a really smart, interesting organization. You are. And I feel like when I watch stuff on Vice News Tonight, you really spell out what's happening. Whereas I feel like, I mean, I'm an MSNBC junkie and an NBC junkie. And I feel like nothing wrong with Peacock. But CNN's the same way. ABC, they're trying so hard to play both sides of the aisle that they don't actually tell people the story as it is. Now, the exception is Pete Williams, I think, has done a really good job. He really has, of explaining what this fake, potentially fake news story is, right? He's like, let's not all get our panties in a bunch. This is actually what's happening. We don't know. It's either a nothing burger or it could be something huge. But they all could be repeat emails. But what I like is about Vice, you guys really do spell out exactly what is happening.
Yeah.
In an completely unpartisan way, nonpartisan way. So do you think it's the media's fault for blowing this thing out of proportion on Friday?
No, I don't think it's the media's fault for blowing it out of proportion, because the letter came out, the information was there, and if the letter was more specific, if the FBI knew what was in the email and said, hey, we got these new emails, but we went through them, and as it turns out, they were like 72% of them were duplicates.
But they haven't been through them at all.
But they haven't been through them because they needed a warrant. So I don't think the fact that there is more information when it comes to Hillary Clinton's private email server that she never should have had, which she has even admitted to, I think that's a news story. And I think that does affect the election.
I agree.
And Hillary Clinton has a trust problem. Both of these candidates are incredibly not liked in this country. And a lot of people don't like Hillary Clinton.
Why does she have a trust problem?
I think she has a trust problem because I think there are multiple reasons.
Can't tell you why I think she has a trust problem. Because I think for 30 years, Andrea Mitchell has said Hillary Clinton has a trust problem every night on TV.
Andrea.
I don't think it's just Andrea.
Specifically, I want to take it out on Andrea the past year. Because Andrea,
the polling says Hillary Clinton has a trust problem.
Right, because the polling is polled
of people.
We poll people. People who watch shows like NBC Nightly News, where every night every night Andrea says, and Hillary Clinton still has trust issues over those emails.
Because
and it's like, that sentence means nothing.
I will say, and this is why I am loving Vice, because Vice really spells the story out the way it's supposed to be. If you ask most people about Hillary's emails, they just say, yeah, emails, there's a scandal there. And they don't know the specifics.
No.
And this is the other thing that bothers me about the Hillary, and I'm not defending her in any way. Most people think that there is something in the 33,000 emails that she deleted that is secretive. They don't think that the real scandal should be that she handled classified information in the wrong way, right? Yes.
That is what the FBI was investigating.
Exactly. So yeah. they see she's secretive and she's sneaky and she deleted those emails. But actually it's that she was cavalier with, like, which is it? Is she so secretive that she will, like, closet everything and, like, bottle it up? Or is it
that she doesn't understand how email works or what was going on.
Right. And so they sort of want to have it both ways. And so people are saying that she's either, like, too secretive or that she's not precious enough with classified email. So I think people think that she's being super secretive with those 33,000 emails, which, sure, I'm not saying there isn't something there, but really the scandal is about the fact that she mishandled classified email.
By the way, I want to remind everyone.
May have mishandled classified email.
Sure.
I want to remind everyone.
Find anything.
Donald Trump does not use email.
Yes.
He does not use email.
No, he calls people.
Yeah. And I think, but also just because he never bothered to learn. It's not like he used email for a while and he's like, no, I want to be more
secret.
Let's
also remember that Secretary Clinton has people print the emails out for her so she can read
them. Does she really do that?
She's a grandma.
That's part of why Humo is forwarding emails to herself was to print them out and give them to the Secretary.
But I also want to say, BlackBerry,
there are emails in the wiki. Yes.
I would say all of this in a vacuum.
No one cares about that.
No. This is what pisses me off more than anything about this election is that we have been robbed of the conversation about emails and ethics.
That we should have had.
We should have been able to have this, but we can't have this conversation when there is someone who sexually assaults women on the other major party ticket. Like, great. You know what? If fucking Hillary, you know, blew up a server somewhere, like, I don't give a shit. She doesn't grab pussies. Like, what? Yeah.
Well,
so
I'm
pissed off that these are all conversations we should be having, but everyone go out and vote for Hillary because either way, she's not a crazy racist demagogue. And so,
yeah.
Yes, but then that is the frustrating thing about this election.
No, and there is a lot of false equivalence in the media that I see of, like, you know, a Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the first person in many decades to not release his tax returns. And it seems like maybe he hasn't paid federal income tax in 18 years. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton emails.
But they just say emails. Do you think, I mean, and you guys have done a lot of covering, just, you know, covering the trail and covering people. I mean, do you think people even fucking understand what these emails are about?
I think yes and no. I think sometimes they do, depending on when you're talking to, like, where you are and where you're talking to people and how interested those people are in what's going on. I think a lot of people who show up to Hillary Clinton events to see her speak do know about the emails. I think a lot of people who show up to Donald Trump events think they know about the emails as well. And
you
so
they think they know.
Yeah, I think if you tried to go get into an in-depth conversation with a lot of people, you would have a hard time having a conversation about classified information and the levels of classification and that kind of thing. But I don't find that abnormal because in the end, you can say, Charlie, you can say what you want about, we've been having a 38-year conversation about whether Hillary Clinton is trustworthy. And we can say whether that's because, like, there is a case for sexism. Mm-hmm. There is a case for the Clintons in general being wary of the media because of Bill Clinton's governor's races and the women who he had affairs with and who have mm-hmm. accused him of other things. There's a lot that led up to this point, but in the end, what has led up to it, whether you think it is fair or not, is that she has a trust problem. And the word emails mm-hmm. plays right into that because she did something that she wasn't supposed to do with that private server. And that is a very valid conversation.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think she has now gotten to a place where she has explained it.
Do you think she knew that she wasn't supposed to do it when she did it? Do you buy
immediately?
Do you
like buy, when she initially started? Well,
yeah. When the IT guy or the staffer said, like, hey, Bill has a server set up, as an ex-president. Do you want to put your email there? Maybe be a little more secure. Yeah, sure. I mean, you just said that she reads.
Or not a little more secure. It would be a little more convenient.
Okay.
Was part of the reason why. Do I think she,
like, in that
willfully
in that moment was she like, oh, this is dirty, I'm going to do it because it's going to help me?
No. No.
Because they'll never be able to hack me.
No. I don't believe that. I don't believe it was some kind of like, I'm going to stick it in the eye of the government.
Right.
But I do think there should have been more thought around the rules of the government, and that in 2009 there was a directive that came out that basically said you needed to conduct your business on government email addresses.
So that's why saying Colin Powell did it too doesn't
matter. That directive was not there when Colin Powell was in office. Condoleezza Rice didn't use email.
But I also think that this is, it's interesting, right? Because we are in a place where the government is figuring out, like, she is the transitional secretary.
Which sounds crazy in some ways, but yes.
But not really. I mean, you know, like, Barack Obama's the first president to have a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
And right, like, now, BlackBerries are
dead. Yeah, they're like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, yes. But you know what I mean? Like, the first president, like, what would you do if you had your entire life on your Gmail address, everything, every communication, everything, and then all of a sudden, you know.
Suddenly you were required to use a system that was incredibly clunky. And there's a whole other really boring conversation about government infrastructure and IT.
Why it was
and they have to go down to a bunker now to like read certain emails.
They've
and,
always had to do that. And she had to do that. And she had a SCIF and
wait, what?
A SCIF.
A SCIF.
What is this?
I don't know what SCIF stands for, but it was like a secure connection to read
it's like
classified like
a room,
information.
Like a windowless room.
That's in their house in Chappaqua. And also a SCIF in the house that the Clintons have in Washington, D.C. And it is basically like there are no other signals that can get in there to be able to have secure government communications.
And so when she says, that on a wholly different system, she's talking about that.
She's talking about the SCIF.
Yeah.
And
most people don't realize that. Like, how inconvenient. I mean, and I understand.
Yes,
like
conversations about Benghazi happened in the SCIF.
Yeah.
But she also wasn't that okay. We're going on down a whole road that we shouldn't be going
again,
down. But
well, I don't know. I think this is the thing. People hear emails, they hear scandal, but they don't realize the Secretary of State spends, and the President, all of them, they spend all of this time. They have to go downstairs to get some information into a like windowless padded room, basically. They have to, you know, and it's then you have your everyday emails, you have everyday stuff. Like
there are
this
different
is your
levels.
Schedule of your of. You know, dealing with all this shit, and it's complicated.
Yes.
I'm not saying that what she did is completely okay, but we are in a different environment and different world, and in a way, she's kind of the first transitional.
Yeah.
She and Colin Powell are both dealing with this information in a different way.
A thing that's frustrated me is that the term emails has come up so many times in this campaign to describe wildly different scandals.
The WikiLeaks emails,
right.
The DNC
John
Podesta's
emails,
the Podesta emails,
Debbie Wasserman Schultz emails.
All
like,
of that.
And it's just this,
it's just
it's just like
email.
This compound interest thing of like, we have to say the word email and Hillary Clinton every night for a year, even though it describes like
multiple
five
stories.
Different
totally.
Completely unrelated stories,
yes.
Many of which are stories about the Russian government hacking and trying to interfere with our election.
Yes.
And actually, today, or this week, they announced that they're doing a preliminary investigation into Paul Manafort and his connections to mm-hmm. Russia.
Yes.
And that he received money from Russia, and that he may or may not have influenced Donald Trump's campaign.
In a way that would be considered illegal.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah.
And so this is just a preliminary look into, but do you think that James Comey should have also written a letter saying that he was preliminary? I mean,
I'm
going to
keep my hands off that one until we find out a little bit more information.
Okay.
I know what was written, and I know the way people are taking it right now, and that if one thing was going to affect the election, why not report on this, or why not give information
right.
about this other thing?
It's very preliminary. It's not an investigation. It's a looking into.
Exactly. I think we gotta steer clear of that until we have more information.
Comey's less concerned about that because Trump is not going to win, and his ass wasn't going to be in trouble.
Do you think
after the election,
Shauna? What do you think? Do you think this latest email thing is going to affect the election?
I think the idea of Hillary Clinton's emails. And whether she improperly sent them or the server, I think that's already baked into this election.
At this point, it's literally been 1 year
since
Bernie Sanders said, Yeah. Enough about the damn emails.
Enough about the damn emails.
A year ago, he said enough about
enough
the damn emails.
About the damn emails. No, I think it's already baked into the selection. I think the people who are going to vote for Hillary Clinton who decided that are not going to change their minds based on what we learned on Friday or
we
over
learned
the
nothing.
Weekend. And the people who are going to vote for Donald Trump were already not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and this just adds fuel to their own personal fire.
Yeah.
I think the polls were going to tighten anyway, because that's how elections work.
That's also fits in the media narrative. It's been super fucking boring for the last 2 weeks since it seemed like he was obviously going to lose in a landslide. And so I think that's part of the reason. Sorry, media. I know you're part of the media, but
that's part of the reason why James Comey sent that letter.
No,
I
think that's why
the media right here,
right here, the entire media here. I am
the media at our dinner table.
No, and I'm so glad that you're working for Vice, because I feel like it just explains it in, like, what I love about Vice. It just explains it in ways that I can understand, that people can understand. It's just tell me what the fucking story is. And I said before, Pete Williams has done a good job of saying this is the story. But they've sensationalized it in a lot of other ways.
So let's talk about Trump's reaction a little bit, because Jon Favreau of the Keeping It 1600 podcast tweeted.
Friend of the pod. He comes on all the time.
If you're listening to our show,
loves the podcast.
We would love
Jon
to have you on our show.
We're basically Keeping It 1600, but not as smart and drunker. So.
But no, but
I'll email Dan Pfeiffer's girlfriend if you'd like me.
Please
to.
Do.
I can do that. Yeah.
Please do.
By the way, wife, they just got married.
Oh my God, they got married?
Yeah, we listen to the pod. You gotta listen to it.
So anyway, Jon Favreau tweeted yesterday, just questioning, like, so we have this vague email from Comey, or this vague letter from Comey, and Trump has basically just decided to speculate, lie.
No, he's taken it 17 steps.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
That's also politics.
But is it a scandal? Is it a scandal for a candidate to take something that is factually nothing and to give a fiery stump speech about nothing? Like, should Nightly News not start with Trump lies on campaign for 2 hours today?
I think anytime a candidate for office says something that is demonstrably false, that it is part of my job to say that it is demonstrably false.
So when Trump says, we know that this must be something terrible in here,
then the line after...
I think the quote is, the only thing we know is that there's something terrible in this.
Then the line after that should be, we don't actually know that there is something terrible here. We know that there is something that has to be investigated.
But then
here.
Can the headline from Lester Holt be like, Donald Trump, again, saying demonstrably baseless false things about Hillary Clinton on the trail today? Like,
I think that's up to them. But I think the headline can be that. And I actually think that the Washington Post has done a very good
job of walking that line
of, like, reporting what's happening and then saying, here are the things we know that are not true about this quote. And it's made their writing a little weirdly clunky. But they've been very, very true to being like, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. Here is what is false about that conversation.
But
I think, like, I will say this, like, part of the beauty of working at Vice News Tonight is I think we have the ability to do that and
yes,
to say that.
Absolutely. And you're doing it.
So
you are. And so I kind of want to shift this conversation to a larger media conversation.
Can I ask one more question about this topic?
Sure,
please.
Do that. My question is, if, let's say that whenever it was, January 2009, when Hillary set up her private server, let's say she had done it the right way. And let's say... I'm just saying, like, let's pretend that this scandal does not exist because it did not happen because she did whatever.
She used state.gov email and dealt with her two different Blackberries.
Whatever she should have done. 100% she did that.
Yeah.
My question is, would she be beating Donald Trump by 5 more percentage points in the poll? Or would the right-wing media and the conspiracy theorists, would there be some other controversy that we would be talking about?
Well, she's dying of Parkinson's.
Like, yeah, would we still be talking about how she's almost dead? Like, like, what would have been the story over the past 18 months had she done that right?
Dying.
Because I'm sort of the theory with,
I mean,
with Hillary.
Dying, Cody.
We are.
We're all dying.
I sort of believe with Hillary, if it's not one thing, it's another.
They would have found something
dig
else.
Up something.
They would have found something
or, excuse me, make up something.
Make up or dig up, but they would have found something else because that's how politics works. It just wouldn't be this.
So do you think that... Because I think politics changes people, and I think, for better or worse, like, there are some great things that come with the fact that she's so prepared to be president, right? Like, she does know how to talk and negotiate with people in other countries, and she understands the landscape. But then, you know, you're obviously cagey as a politician, and you're used to having all your fucking shit out there for the world to see, and so...
Especially her.
Especially her.
Yes.
So... Do you think that this is a normal thing of someone who's been involved in politics for 40 years?
I've thought about this a lot, and that the role the Clintons have played in American political history, and also what she's had to go through as
a woman who was a woman before she should have been a woman.
I don't know what that means.
She was feminist before it was okay.
Yes. But as a first lady who tried to change the role of being a first lady, who tried to be at the forefront of policy change that did not work in the end, who did actually make gains when it comes to, like, the children's health insurance program and a couple of other things, and do that under the microscope of her husband being president, being a very charismatic president, but also being a philandering president. Mm-hmm. And there is a part of me that can understand wanting to play things very close to the vest beyond just being a politician. But if you let that take yourself over, then you may end up in situations that we have seen over the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something interesting.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just...
They came... like, the Clintons came of age politically... in a time where sex scandals were huge, you know, where you couldn't, you had to be married, you had to be a traditional couple.
Interesting. Okay.
And so I think it's, I think it's fascinating to me that maybe they are a non-traditional couple that has played, you know, it's like they're of a different generation.
Here's the deal. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what their deal is.
We don't know. Yeah. And I guess that's part of the media in general has always had a problem with them.
Yeah.
They've always been.
We don't know what their relationship is or what deal they made or what is acceptable and what is not in their relationship. And I'm not saying I literally don't know, because you know what? There are two people who are married who have a personal life that doesn't involve any of us.
But you know what? That is a new thing, right? Like, you can be a politician now and have a personal life that's separate, and we, I think, now would be more willing to accept that. But when they were coming of age in politics, they needed to be the cookie-cutter, perfect, happy family, even if they weren't.
I don't know if you can be a politician now and...
Cory Booker.
I'm not getting into that at all.
Oh, we've talked about
like,
it. We talked about it last week. He's very,
things,
very, very attractive and single.
Yes, he is. He is single.
Sorry, Charlie.
But and do things that if you're not sure everybody is on board with how you're deciding to live your life.
Sure.
Then it is very easy between social media and a lot of other things to get into trouble. So I do think we do expect something from our politicians still. I'm beating around the bush because I don't really know how to talk about this without embarrassing anyone. But I think politicians have to be even more careful in some ways now than they used to be.
Oh,
like,
because everything gets out.
Exactly. Like, if we go back to, like, the Jack Kennedy days... I mean, there are multiple books and there's lots of stuff written about how the media knew what was going on and they didn't report it because they didn't think it was an important part of the presidency.
He was terrible. He was, I mean, I love Donald Trump goes around and says that Bill Clinton was the worst president of our lifetime and or ever for philandering. It's like John Kennedy, the most beloved president in most people. He raped women. I mean, it's. Alleged, but yes, politicians for years have been terrible, philandering, horrible people. Also, we
talked more of it probably gets out now than before.
Sure. Look, case in point, Anthony Weiner. Something's exactly. going on. But do you think that Hillary is going to have tons of sex scandals if she gets elected? We had this conversation last week.
I think Hillary is not going to have tons of sex
scandals. We feel like maybe she
Hillary will have a whole bunch of other problems.
Do you feel like she only wanted to be a first female president so she could, like, fuck someone in the Oval Office and be like, fuck you, Bill? I hope so. That's my vote for her.
I am not responding to that. What do you think? All right, let's look to the future a little bit. Do you think the Senate is going to go blue?
I do. Really? I think the Senate's going to. Yeah, but I don't think they're going to get a cloture-proof majority.
No.
But can't they change the rules and get rid of the filibuster?
Yeah, they can.
Will they? Can.
Which will help with judges and.
Yeah, will they? I don't know if they will immediately.
So what do you think, 27? I feel like last week everybody was just presuming that Hillary was going to win, and then we got a little bit of a shock, and an email and a letter from James Comey that said no.
Do you think Hillary's going to win?
But let's say that Hillary. What do you think 2017 is like with, let's suppose, a Clinton presidency and a Democratic Senate
and a Republican House?
Is it just going to be
4 years of what you've already seen?
Daryl Issa, if he survives, or Jason Chaffetz, or whoever, investigating Hillary nonstop.
Yes.
How do we solve that? I mean, besides voting those guys out.
What do we do?
No, I just think,
what do
like,
we do?
That's, no, like, I mean, that's I think, not productive. I think you
like,
will,
even if it's a Republican in the presidency, it's just not productive to like trump up scandals for four straight years and try
the,
to.
The trumping up scandals isn't the issue. It's that you're going to end up with a Republican House. You could very well end up with a Democratic Senate, and you could end up with a Democratic president, which means that she may get one shot to do something.
I don't know about that.
Like immigration, something. She's going to.
No,
like,
not immigration.
No, that's
I mean,
too
they've,
much.
They've basically kind of played their hand on what they want to do, which has to do with infrastructure and corporate reform and playing these two things together that they can get Republicans and Democrats to agree on. And the question is, even on something that maybe Republicans and Democrats should agree on, where both sides get something they want, can she make that happen? And I'm not fully convinced anything happens
at all
over the next 4 years.
Do you think Hillary Clinton signs a bill in four years?
Yes, I do think Hillary Clinton signs a bill.
That's like change the name of a post office or like, you know.
I mean, she'll change the name of some post offices. No, I think there will be more than that. I mean, I think we will get budgets passed. The federal government is not going to shut down all 4 years of the first 4 years of her presidency if she is elected. Like, the major things that have to happen will happen. I just don't know if you see... I don't know if you see any changes in the healthcare law to make it work better.
Boy.
I don't know if you see any changes in... like in infrastructure spending, if they can't sort of make the ideas that are out there work now. I don't know if you see any changes in our immigration situation. Because if, honestly, if the Republicans had run anybody else other than Donald Trump, this election would have been theirs to win.
But Obama has a 55% approval rating and the stock market has tripled.
It's also the trend. 8 years of one president, they generally
want
to go
someone else. Like, the trend isn't, like, literally the historical trend. This is not how it works. Usually this country switches parties in the presidency after 8 years of another presidency.
But there's been historic demographic change of you know, old people dying and, you know,
and more
brown
and
people
more
in our country. Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, I agree. I just... That historically this country likes to make a switch. And a lot of the people who are running for the Republican nomination last year and the beginning of this year were people who it would have been much harder for Hillary to beat.
I agree.
Who do you think would have been the most formidable opponent to Hillary? Like, who should have they nominated?
Who should they have nominated?
Yeah, if they wanted to win.
Probably... Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush.
Do you think that
to bring in
if the Republic, if the Republican Party gets rid of all their social bullshit, do you think that they, if they could do that, do you think that they would be competitive in 4 years?
Yes.
So do you think this is the last hurrah for them for the, all their social bullshit?
I don't know about that. I think it depends. I think it depends on what happens in 8 days.
Right. I mean, this is assuming.
And what is the Republican Party
after without their that? Social bullshit?
And I like I don't have, a, have I don't have a I don't know if they have a clear idea of what that will be. Whether Donald Trump wins or loses, actually.
Yeah.
Like, what is the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, if Donald Trump wins, what is the Republican Party? Like, he
it's
has
a white
no
nationalist party.
Because he has no actual stances on anything, right?
I think we see the next 2 years and see what happens.
I want to throw this out for our Bernie fans, which stopped listening because we're like, stop it, get over yourselves. No, I like Bernie, but we're voting for Hillary. We're moving on. But do
he's
you
not
think,
actually on the ballot?
No. My point is, do you think it would have been different if Bernie were running? If Bernie had won,
yeah, could Bernie have beaten Trump?
Or, but even let's go beyond that. Let's assume Bernie could have beaten Trump. Do you think he could have gotten more passed in the next 4 years than Hillary? Because we had this conversation last week and it stumped me, or 2 weeks ago.
Here's my if Bernie had. Okay, we're going to take a lot of
sure,
jumps
we're
here.
Taking so many jumps, assuming
Bernie wins the nomination, Bernie then beats Donald Trump in November.
Yes, I want to know if
Bernie Sanders beat Donald Trump in November, the Senate is a Democratic Senate and the House is a Democratic House.
But you don't think that would have happened?
No.
No, but she's saying if it did
I'm saying
happen,
if it did happen... Yeah. Then you've seen such a trend with progressives on the Democratic right. side that's a wave.
The revolution would have
but
happened.
You're saying,
that revolution would have happened and the House would flip.
But you're saying...
And then you'd have blue for 2 years. And then, yes, things would have happened.
But you're saying...
I don't know if it would last more than 2 years,
But
though.
Bernie, you think... You don't think Bernie could have won against Trump. Because that's the idea, that people are saying that, like, we should have elected Bernie.
I think this election is so frickin' nutballs that I think Democrats who are progressive are going to show up to vote against Trump.
Right.
And I think we are seeing that. I mean, a lot of people aren't excited about Hillary Clinton, but they are super excited about Donald Trump not being president of the United States.
Vice News Tonight had an interview with the Bernie bro who said that he was not going to
And you know who he's
Hillary.
Voting for? In the interview?
Stein.
Jill Stein.
Okay. That, yes. You guys cut that part out.
We cut that part out. For multiple reasons, but yes, he's voting for Jill Stein.
I am skeptical that...
I'm not so sure people wouldn't have shown up for Bernie Sanders in the end. And my this is fully anecdotal, is that... My mother, I'm from Houston, Texas. My mother is a almost 70-something black woman. She probably wouldn't want me saying what her age is. Was voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary.
Oh, wow.
And there's something about Bernie Sanders that clearly spoke to progressives, spoke to sort of Democratic liberals, kind of where I consider my parents to be. I'm a black woman, by the way. My parents are also black.
Wait, you're black?
What?
Shit.
Oh, my God.
Too many beers.
If he were to, I don't think it's crazy that people would have done an anti-Trump vote for him. I don't think that's totally insane.
Although,
but if you got to that point, I think then you're talking a wave.
But we had this conversation too that like Hillary is unlikable and she's a terrible candidate in so many ways. But I think that she is getting a protest Republican vote that Bernie would not have gotten. That there are fiscal conservatives.
I'll give you that.
That are like
Colin Powell might not have voted for Bernie.
No,
exactly, because he's a socialist, and that there are a lot of people that are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like I say,
I think those people just wouldn't vote.
But I say like the New York hedge fund people.
Yes,
they are not voting for Trump
Mm-mm.
because they're not fucking morons, And they're like maybe very, very, very begrudgingly voting for Hillary.
The stock market, not the stock market had like a 200-point swing that when the Comey letter came out. Like the stock market was like, oh shit, Trump might be president. Oh shit.
But those, you know, it's the non-social Republicans are nervous of a socialist because yes. They know what that means, and they know Bernie's coming after them. They know Hillary's not really going to be able to do anything. It's going to be normal.
But I also think even like. We have hypothesized so far beyond what we could possibly know, but even sure. If you had some kind of blue wave that happens because Bernie Sanders is elected president, those people in Congress are not socialists.
Right.
So no. Some of the stuff that you're talking about that Bernie, like, especially when it comes to Wall Street and some other people that Bernie Sanders isn't taking money from, some of these people in Congress are taking money from.
Right. Absolutely.
And so it,
we got to fix the problem before we can have
there,
the revolution.
There are checks and balances for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're talking about our four branches of government. You're including lobbyists. And on the branches of government, they can have a check and a balance.
Exactly. Yes. The media is not the fourth branch. It's lobbyists.
All right. We have to wrap up.
We have to wrap up. This has been so fun.
It's been a great conversation, Sean.
You've made me feel so much worse about everything. That is like, yes. I mean, I felt this way anyway. So
everyone watch Vice News tonight on HBO, HBO Now, and HBO Go.
All of the HBOs.
Make sure you have your parents' password.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Get that parents' password. I want to say our friend Francoise has told me that she wants us to plug voting down ballot. She says it's not enough to say that we need to vote in midterm elections. She wants us to plug voting for Democrats in the House and the Senate.
So also, just vote.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well, we're big on
voting.
We're
less than a week away.
Get to the voting.
If you're listening to us and you don't vote, like, I don't know what your problem is.
Are there people that really just vote for the top of the ticket and go like, I'm not going to fill the rest of this out?
Maybe, guys. Anyone from Ohio or Texas listening to Shauna, please vote down.
California? That's a long ballot, dude.
Yeah,
that's a lot of shit.
You may, like, get to a point where you're like, no, done.
If you live in New York City or the New York City area and you want to be with us on election night, please come to UCB Theater East.
Please volunteer, donate money.
Tickets are available. Come out and see that show and celebrate with us when Hillary wins. We also have a show November 28th, so check that out. And I think that's it.
Vote down ballot.
Vote in midterm elections, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.